2016 marks Between the Lines' 25th year on the air. As we celebrate our all-volunteer independent media project's anniversary, please consider subscribing to our podcasts and supporting our work. Visit our website at btlonline.org, that's btlonline.org, for details on how to subscribe and make a contribution.
In addition to carbon dioxide, methane is a critical global warming gas. In the short term, methane is many times more powerful than carbon dioxide in warming the planet's atmosphere. Even so, the impact of methane is often given short shrift in discussions about climate change. The global climate change organization 350.org, for example, takes its name from the concept that carbon dioxide in the atmosphere must be reduced to 350 parts per million from the current 400 parts per million in order to stabilize the climate. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change states that methane is more than 100 times more powerful than carbon dioxide for the first decade after emission, 86 times over a 20-year period, and 34 times over 100 years. That's why many climate activists and scientists are critical of the assertion that natural gas is a bridge fuel to future renewable energy sources. Cornell University researcher Robert Howarth co-authored a groundbreaking report in 2011 showing that hydraulic fracking for natural gas can be worse for the climate than the burning of coal. He observes that global methane emissions have recently spiked due to the significant increase in fracking across the U.S. Between the Lines' Melinda Tuhu spoke with Dr. Howarth, who explains that methane comes from various sources and is released in a variety of ways, including the major leak from the Aliso Canyon storage facility in Southern California that continued uninterrupted for 4 months last fall and winter before being brought under control.
Within the United States, the oil and gas industry is pretty clearly the largest source of methane emissions. Animal agriculture would be a distant second, followed by other fossil fuels and landfills and sewage treatment plants. If we look globally at the total amount of carbon dioxide emissions and methane emissions at the moment and compare them in terms of their immediate influence on global warming, the two gases are about equal. Methane is actually a little bit more important in current global warming than carbon dioxide when you view it that way. Incredibly important gas.
Natural gas is almost all methane. So what are the different ways that the methane gets into the atmosphere?
When you burn the natural gas, you're burning methane and it's converted to carbon dioxide. So burning it reduces the issue. The methane emissions are coming partly from leaks, but also from purposeful venting. It's part of the normal operations of the oil and gas industry. For instance, after you get gas out of the ground and you go to compress it into a pipeline, the compressors that are typically used will purposely vent some of that gas as part of the normal operation. And when you go to do maintenance on a storage tank or you do maintenance on a gas pipeline, the normal procedure is to vent all of the gas that's in the storage tank or pipeline into the atmosphere. So it's both accidental leaks and purposeful venting of the gas.
Climate scientists say that methane is 86 times more powerful as a greenhouse gas than CO2 in the first 20 years after release. That seems pretty significant.
If we look at the period of a decade, say, after emission, current human emissions of methane equal or exceed the emissions of carbon dioxide in terms of their influence on the heat budget of the planet. But the difference is carbon dioxide and methane are very different in how they act. So carbon dioxide, once it's emitted into the atmosphere, it's equilibrating some with the oceans, it's being taken up by forests and equilibrating with the land surface of the earth. And what that means is that the carbon dioxide we're putting into the air today will be with us to some extent for hundreds of years, perhaps 1,000 years into the future. Methane, on the other hand, if we reduce methane emissions now, it slows the rate of global warming now. So when the nations of the world came together at the United Nations COP21 negotiations back in Paris in December, they recognized we want to keep the planet well below 1.5 degrees Celsius above the pre-industrial baseline temperature, and they agreed that we really must keep it well below 2 degrees Celsius. And it turns out you cannot reach that target by reducing carbon dioxide emissions because we're on a trajectory to reach 1.5 degrees in about 12 years or so from now. and to reach 2 degrees in 35 years. The only way to reach that target set by the governments in Paris is to reduce methane emissions. So we need to reduce both.
Bob Howarth, do you really think there's any possible way to keep global warming increases even below 2 degrees Celsius, much less 1.5 degrees?
I think we need to reduce methane emissions. And over the last decade, there's been a fairly large rate of global increase in methane. Turns out that that's almost entirely attributable to increases from the United States. And at least a major part of that, maybe most of it, is due to the shale gas revolution. So, you know, we see that in the satellite data. I think we need to reverse that trend and either stop developing shale gas or certainly get the emissions from it much better under control. Now, that would be a huge help. If we just reverse and go back to where we were with the oil and gas industry in this country 10 years ago, it would be a big help.
I don't know if you delve into politics, but I'd love to ask you about the Democratic presidential race. Senator Bernie Sanders has called for a ban on fracking and for ending all new fossil fuel leases on public lands. And even though Hillary Clinton has moved toward a lot of Bernie's positions, she hasn't called for either of these moves yet. What's your view?
I think Sanders' position on fracking and on fossil fuels is exactly right. He's quite strongly opposed fracking. He has for quite some time. That's not a new position of his. He's always been a critic of fracking, and he definitely has been a mover among politicians in the Keep It in the Ground movement in terms of public lands. As you say, Hillary Clinton has expressed some worries about fracking, but her positions have been more ambivalent. And actually, as Secretary of State, she and the State Department worked quite hard to promote fracking abroad. So her background on that is rather colored in my view.
That was Robert Howarth, the David R. Atkinson Professor of Ecology and Evolutionary Biology at Cornell University. Learn more about how natural gas and fracking contribute to climate change by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.